If you're in Genesis chapter 6, I invite you to just kind of glance there as we'll cover some of the material in those two chapters. Last Wednesday, we took time to consider Noah's blameless character, his strong faith, and courageous obedience despite the mockery of those around him. Noah truly walked with God, and I am always encouraged and challenged whenever I read in the scriptures of Noah's life and testimony. In fact, even the New Testament refers back to Noah, showing that he was exemplary and something we can learn from his life and testimony. I hope you too were encouraged by studying Noah's life and testimony last Wednesday. And this evening, we'll again consider Noah, but this time we will draw a lesson from the results of his godly choices. The question we'll try to answer this evening is this: is focusing on results a wise way to formulate doctrine or form decisions? Think about that again. Is focusing on results a wise way to formulate doctrine or form decisions? I hope that by the end of this message, you'll join me in responding with a resounding no. Okay? All right. See, now you know the answer. Isn't that cool? All right. Let's begin by examining the results of Noah's life and ministry and choices. The first thing we need to decide on is what specific results should we consider? You see, it all depends on what you are focusing on. For instance, when God commanded Noah to build an ark, God also told him why there was a need for one, because the entire population of the earth at that time had corrupted itself to the point that God had to destroy it and start over again with a godly seed. Noah obeyed God and, with the help of his three sons, started building the ark according to God's directions. Did his obedience result in a completed ark? Yes, okay, it did. Noah also preached to everyone who gathered around the construction site. We can deduce this from 2 Peter chapter 2. Don't lose your place in Genesis 6, but 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 for us. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Obviously, the sentence in verse 5 goes on into verse 6, but the point is, God's word declares that Noah was what? A preacher of righteousness. The question here is this: was Noah a success as a preacher of righteousness? According to the results, only seven other individuals responded positively to his preaching: his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. So was Noah a success or a failure? Since the vast majority of the people rejected his preaching, according to the results, Noah was a resounding failure. Remember, Noah preached for approximately 50 to 75 years from what we can deduce from the time God told Noah to build the ark in Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. By that time, Noah's three sons were grown and had each married a wife. Noah's oldest son, Japheth, was not born until 100 years before the flood. Noah's second son, Shem, was born 2 years later, and presumably Ham was born at least 2 years after that. So, as I said before, Noah apparently had at least 50, maybe as many as 75 years to preach to people as he stood around the construction site. And the only converts he had as a result of his labors were his immediate family. Seven people. If you focus on these results, Noah today would be considered a failure. On the other hand, Noah's choice to obey God and build the ark resulted in his family escaping the judgment that came on the entire earth through the flood. So that was a good result for Noah and his family. So as you can see, what specific results you are focusing on will tend to influence your perception of the success or lack of it in regard to a past choice you have made. And in the same vein, what specific expected results you are focusing on will influence your perception of the wisdom or lack of it in considering a future decision. So I want you to think about that for a while, because we always make decisions. You're aware of that, right? We make decisions all the time. Little tiny ones, do I put salt on my food or not? You know, that kind of stuff. Where should I go to school, or what job should I? Should I change a job? Should I get another job? So forth. So we make decisions all the time. And many of them are deciding whether to go God's way or our own way. And sometimes it seems fuzzy to decide whether, is this really a question of following God or following me? I mean, okay, like putting salt in your food. Okay, that's not something that you can probably find in the Bible. Should I put salt in my food? Well, God put salt on his food, or put salt in the food that he received as an offering. So I guess there's nothing wrong with salt, unless your doctor says don't put salt because you've got high blood pressure, whatever. I'm digressing here, but I just want you to realize we make a lot of decisions all the time. And if we are not committed to making godly, biblical decisions in everything, some things are going to slip through and they may become habitual. And then you're on the wrong path. So just be careful of that. So do you think Noah considered possible results as an important factor in making his decisions? After reading everything I can in the Old and New Testament, I come away with one very strong conclusion. That conclusion is that Noah knew that the only good choice was absolute and complete obedience to God. Nothing else mattered. After viewing the record of Noah's great faith in and faithfulness to God, I'm sure that even if no one else, not even his own family, believed him and followed him, Noah would still have built the ark and got on it by himself. Notice Genesis 6, verse 9. You've got your Bibles open at Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 9. It says here, "These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God." You might say, but hold on, Pastor, surely Noah would not have been dumb enough to get on the ark alone and think that somehow he would repopulate the earth without a wife. Okay, think through that one, and that's like, okay, that's the no-brainer, right? I'm sure he would not have thought that, but what I am sure of is that he would have trusted the Lord to keep his word, even if it all happened at the last minute. You see, God had already promised in Genesis 6 that all his family would go into the ark. Would you look at verse 17 and verse 18 with me? "Behold, I, God is saying here, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark," and look what comes next, "you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." God always keeps his promises, and whatever he says will come to pass. So Noah would have trusted God to bring it to pass, even if his family did not seem to be cooperating with that plan right away. I'm sure they did cooperate through the whole time. After all, they helped him build it. But even if they hadn't, he could have counted on God working in their hearts even at the last minute and bring them into the ark. So what if Noah had not had this strong trust in God and strong commitment to obey God's commands no matter what? Then Noah would not have finished building the ark. He would have fallen victim to discouragement and pragmatism. What do I mean by pragmatism? I think I've explained this before, but let me just recall to your minds what pragmatism is. In a very real sense, pragmatism is results-based thinking. Results-based thinking. If it works, let's do it. That's the idea. Okay? In other words, for a Christian, pragmatism is making choices based on what appears to work rather than whether or not it agrees with the Word of God. See, that's where, as fundamentalists, we would distinguish ourselves from others, whatever their stripe may be. A new evangelical will say, hey, if it works, you know, it must be okay with God, or else he wouldn't let it work, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas we believe we better be careful to obey whatever God says in his word. That's the only safe route. In Noah's case, if he had been pragmatic, he would have considered the many years he had preached to the antediluvian mockers with no results and would have concluded that maybe he got this whole thing wrong. Maybe he dreamed this word from God. I mean, if a coming global flood sounded so crazy to so many people, maybe he was wrong. Added to that, the horrendously difficult labor of building this huge ark with no electric tools or big machinery was just asking too much of a man, wasn't it? I think I've asked this before, but how many have ever been to the Ark Encounter? Okay, Brenda and I went last year. Wow, and it's amazing. Wow, okay, I can show you a picture on my phone if you want. But it's huge. We went inside, it's three floors, and the ceilings are very high. You know, the space between floors is very, quite spacious. And those timbers are like huge. Can you imagine Noah and his sons having to manhandle those things by themselves? No cranes, you know, no other tools, no forklift, you know, no nothing else. That's just wow, thinking about that. But you can see how falling into pragmatism can then lead to discouragement, because without the knowledge that God is in control and that God knows best and that God will enable you to obey him, you're left with trusting in self, depending on self, and finding that your strength and wisdom are inadequate for the task. So since none of us is facing the task of building an ark in preparation for a global flood, let me give you an example that you may be able to identify with. For example, in the area of parenting, if some parents don't see the results in their children that they think the Bible promises and see it within a certain time frame, they give up on the Bible's commands regarding parenting and look for other methods. In other words, the world's methods, the psychology method. Or on the other hand, if they don't see those results in a Christian family they are observing, then they conclude, perhaps wrongly, that that family wasn't following the Bible's commands. And the important fact that they may be discounting is the stubborn nature of the child, because with some children, the results come many years later than might happen with other children. In our long life, 67 years, we have observed different families and we've observed different children, not only our four, but others. And we sometimes would laugh to each other with the discipline that we had to enforce regularly in our home. And wow, sometimes it's like, will this kid ever learn to obey? And then we go out somewhere and everybody says, oh, what well-behaved children. Aren't you lucky you have such well-behaved children? And we're like, you ought to come live with us for a week, okay? Then you see about these children again. But listen, God did work in their hearts. And even though some took longer than others, God did work in their hearts. Praise the Lord. They're all walking with the Lord now. So pragmatism is not a biblical method of thinking and living. Trusting God and obeying his word is the only biblical choice for a child of God. Christ's command to us is not, follow my commands unless the results seem to point in another direction. No, Christ's command is stated in Revelation 2, verse 10. I'd like you to turn there. It's the last passage we're going to look at. So you can take your marker out of Genesis 6 and just turn to Revelation chapter 2. In In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the Lord Jesus says this, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." May we follow Noah's example of faith in God and faithfulness to his word, rather than falling into pragmatism or discouragement. Don't make decisions based on perceived results. Make decisions based on the light of God's word and depend on his enablement. He always keeps his word. What a wonderful God we serve.